just to get into a conversation.
Perdona, ¿dónde están los big beans?
Los big beans. ¿Lo qué?
¿Lo qué? Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Episode 62. And if you are a new listener to this podcast, you are very welcome. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Reza. We're going to help you to grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation. With over 40 years of teaching experience between us, Reza and I will help you improve your English and take it to the next level. This episode, cinema vocabulary. But first, Reza, before we speak about the cinema, we have an email from Javier from Scotland. Do you remember Javi? He's working in Scotland. We spoke about him.
I do.
A few episodes ago, and he sent us another email. Hello, Craig and Reza. This is Javi. I don't know if you remember me. Well, we do, Javi. I emailed you about 1 month ago. I listen to your podcast every morning while I'm working as a housekeeper in a hostel in Scotland. Personally, I don't find them so difficult to understand, but I still find it quite difficult to understand native English speakers when they have a normal conversation. Most of the time, I get lost. It's true that my English has gotten much better since I came here, but I know it's not enough. I know that you've been teaching for years, so if you don't mind, I would be grateful if you could give me some advice that could help me to improve my English faster. I hope you're enjoying the weather in Valencia. Best regards from Fort William. Thank you so much, Javier Trimino. No, Javi, I'm not enjoying the weather in Valencia. I wish I was in Scotland. I hate the heat and humidity. And so do you, I think.
Me too. It's too hot now, Javi. It's too hot here.
Oh,
Scotland is perfect for the summer.
I'm sweating. We're sitting here recording the podcast. The air conditioning is off because of the noise of the air conditioning, and already I'm suffering. It's too hot. But to answer your question, Javi, time and practice, I think. Be patient. Go to pubs. Start conversations. Smile all the time. Be friendly. Speak to people. Speak to anyone who will listen to you. And I think it's great that you're listening to podcasts in English, but make friends there in Fort William in Scotland. Socialize. Speak to people in the hostel. Ask lots of questions. What do you think, Reza? Any other advice?
Yes, and make any excuse not go to pubs. In supermarkets, ask questions about where can I find the baked beans? Anything to get into a conversation. I used to do that in Spanish. Even though I knew where the baked beans were, I pretended I didn't, just to get into a conversation.
Perdona, ¿dónde están los baked beans?
Los baked beans. ¿Lo qué?
¿Like
qué? Maybe baked beans is a bad idea here. ¿Dónde están los, I don't know, los huevos, for example?
I don't know what the nightlife is like in Fort William. Where is Fort William? It's in the Highlands, isn't
it? As far as I know, Fort William is right beside Loch Ness. Yeah. It's the place where you stay chiefly if you want to visit Loch Ness.
I think it's near Ben Nevis.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful area of Scotland.
Yeah.
But yeah, just ask questions, keep speaking to people. Say all the time, if you don't understand, say, lovely, lovely. If they say in Scottish, oh, lovely, lovely. And just keep going, keep speaking, keep the conversation going. And in time, with practice, you will see that your English will improve. Just keep speaking, Javier. Keep practicing.
Can I give you a tip, Javier, to get some practice out of American tourists? Tell them you've seen the Loch Ness Monster, and they'll ask you questions about it. And you can say, well, it's got a huge neck, and it swims very fast. And, you know, tell American tourists you've seen the Loch Ness Monster.
And ask American tourists about Mickey Mouse. Where does Mickey Mouse live? Where's he from? Do you know Mickey Mouse? There's one website that might help you, Javi, that I like very much on YouTube. Actually, not a website. It's on YouTube. It's called Elemental English. Elemental or Elemental English. I will put a link in the show notes for episode 62. So that's inglespodcast.com/62. So this YouTube channel is an American English teacher, a lovely girl who is teaching pronunciation, but she especially focuses on problems that people have when they're listening and trying to understand English. Razor and I will be speaking about this also in future podcasts, but sometimes when people speak, the words seem to go together, and she explains very well, I think, connected speech, why it's difficult to understand native English speakers. So look at her YouTube channel, and I hope it will help you. Reza, cinema vocabulary.
Cinema. The movies.
The movies.
The flicks.
The flicks.
The pictures.
The pictures.
It's a bit old-fashioned, but you still hear it from time to time. Moving pictures.
How would you feel if I described some vocabulary to you and you told me what word you think I'm describing?
Perfect. Let's go for it.
What's the music of a film called?
The soundtrack.
Correct. What about the people who watch a film? Because people who watch sport events are spectators. Like, but if you watch tennis or football, then you are a spectator. What about people who sit in a movie theatre?
Well, it's different, isn't it? For the arts, I would say an audience.
Yeah. Also in a theatre, a live performance, it would be the audience.
Yeah.
And in a cinema, it's the cinema audience. What's the verb for people, for actors and actresses who are practicing for a film or a play when they keep repeating their lines?
To rehearse.
Yeah. R-E-H-E-A-R-S-E, to rehearse. And the noun?
Rehearsal.
Yeah.
And of course, that's also the same for theatre or opera or indeed music.
And if you are doing a presentation, you would also rehearse a presentation. Basically means to repeat and repeat, to get better, to practice, to improve it before the actual performance. So to rehearse or a rehearsal. What about a person who makes the film and tells the actors what to do?
Well, the most common word is director.
Mm-hmm.
But you do hear other words these days like movie maker, I've heard as well.
Mm-hmm. And the person who pays the money to make the film?
The producer.
Yeah. The guy with a cigar who pays the money. Yeah.
The guy in Los Angeles with a cigar who's probably called something like Harold P. Feinstein or something like that. They've always got names like that, haven't they?
Yeah. What about the dialogue of the film?
The script.
Yeah, what's that in Spanish?
El guión.
El guión. Script. Script. Now, that can be difficult for Spanish speakers because of the consonants that are together, the consonant cluster in script. S-C-R-I-P-T. Script. Script. What about someone who does the dangerous things in a film? Because, you know, Tom Cruise is a bad example. Some actors or actresses are insured. It's very dangerous for them to jump out of planes or cars. So they pay people to do the dangerous things in a film.
Well, those professionals who do the physical dangerous activities are stuntmen and stuntwomen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I suppose you could also say a stunt person. To be politically correct, if it's a man or a woman, a stunt person, stunt man or stunt woman.
But of course, we never know much about them. They'll appear in the credits, which are all the names of the people who participate in a film at the end. They're there, but we don't know their names. They're not well-known people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also heard that people like sexy actresses and actors sometimes have stunt bottoms.
Yeah.
Stunt parts of their body, stunt legs.
That's right.
It's not actually their legs.
Yeah.
or it's somebody else. Or
even sometimes considerably more intimate things than legs. Like when they use a 50-year-old or 60-year-old Sharon Stone, who looks great, by the way, because of the obsession in Hollywood with looking even better, they will use the body parts of a 25-year-old when they zoom up.
Yes.
When actually the actress in question may be 55 years old. They don't really look that good still. Someone has lent them their legs or other parts.
And what's the word for all of the actors and actresses in a film?
The cast.
Yes, C-A-S-T, the cast of a film.
I think Spanish people often confuse cast and casting because this word, un casting, exists in Spanish and they use it for cast, but it's not the same. The casting is when they're looking for the cast. They're doing auditions.
So it's like an interview for the part.
Yes, but in the world of the arts, they tend to say an audition. You have to pretend to do something or to act or to read a few lines. That is the casting. And then when they've chosen the people as a result of that, those people are called the cast. They're two different words in English, which are often confused by Spanish people.
What's the building where films are often made?
The studio.
Yeah. Now, you can make a film and you can also shoot a film. That's a common expression. We're shooting a film in Hollywood studios.
What do you call it, Craig, if you shoot outside the studio in real places? For example, James Bond films are famous for shooting outside studios as well as inside studios. When they go to places for a specific reason, they say that they shoot
on location.
Location.
There was a James Bond film that was famously shot on location in Cádiz. Do you remember that one?
That's right. I do remember it, yeah.
Pierce Brosnan, I think.
Yeah. Was Can you remember the name of the film?
On location. I can't remember. Die Another Day, perhaps?
Might be.
Anyway, remember the preposition on. It's shot on location. This film was shot on location in Madrid, for example. The continuation of a story in a book or a film.
A sequel?
A sequel. And the opposite, before?
Before, which, as far as I can tell, was kind of made popular by Star Wars, a prequel.
Yeah, a prequel.
It's not a word you heard much until Star Wars started to do it.
And The Godfather.
Did they do prequels?
Well, I think The Godfather 2 was the first, was a prequel of Godfather 1.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, because Robert De Niro growing up, arriving in New York before he became a mafia boss. That's Godfather 2.
Okay.
So Godfather 2 is a prequel to Godfather 1.
Yeah.
So although it came after.
Yeah, that's what prequel means, doesn't it? Although it comes after, in chronological or historical order, it refers to time before.
Exactly.
Like, does anybody know exactly what's going on in Star Wars these days? I'm completely confused
I'm
about
lost.
The time
phase. I saw the first one. I loved the first one with Harrison Ford. And then they've made 15, 20 since then, yeah. I think.
Well, the first three...
I'm completely lost.
The first three back in the 70s and 80s were sequels. You had Star Wars, and then I believe it was The Empire Strikes Back, perhaps.
Was
that the third one?
No, that was the sequel, I think, yeah. Of the original.
And then you had another one, which was The Return of the Jedi. Those are the three original, and they're in order, so they're sequels. But then after that, they left a period of about 20 years.
That's where I got lost.
Yeah, but for 20 years, they didn't make any films. And then they started making prequels. And all the films after that referred to time before those original three. So now nobody knows quite what order the events happen in.
But I've heard that the latest Star Wars films are actually very, very good, and I'd like to see them. Because I do like that genre.
Sci-fi.
I do love, I mean, Blade Runner with Harrison Ford is a classic, one of my favourite films. But anyway, we'll get to favourite films at the end. Let's continue with vocabulary. The part that an actor or actress plays in a film or a play.
Well as part, you can say role.
That's the word I'm looking for. Papel in Spanish. The role. R-O-L-E. The role. And images made by computer in films like Star Wars, for example?
Computer generated.
Mm-hmm. Computer-generated special effects.
Special effects.
Special effects.
Well, not all special effects are computer-generated, but these days the majority are. A yeah. special effect could be making it look like an alien, someone's stomach has exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. In the original Alien, it's not computer generated. It's using tricks. It's a special effect, but not all are computer generated.
Yeah. And in fact, the first Indiana Jones films, the special effects were actually not made by computer, and they're very very good.
Yeah, they're still convincing today, aren't they?
But you can see. I think you can. You can tell means that you know. You know when it's a special effect generated by computer. I think it's obvious. They're very, very good these days, but you can see. What about, and I think this is a false friend in Spanish, when someone writes an opinion of a film, a play, or a book?
Yeah, it's a false friend. A review.
Yeah, the thing is the review, isn't it? And the person?
A critic.
Mm. So the false friend is crítica, which is review.
Mm-hmm. A critic or a reviewer as well.
A reviewer, yeah. Yeah.
But not for the thing that they write is not a criticism. No, that's not the right word.
A criticism would be you talk too much or you don't shower enough. You smell. That's a criticism of someone.
Yeah.
Or your writing is very bad. I'm criticizing your writing. But when you write an opinion of a book, a play or a film, it's a review. The way an actor or actress acts, the way they deliver their lines.
Their performance.
Nicole Kidman's performance was unbelievably realistic, for example.
And it's the same word for musicians. How they play is their performance.
It's how they perform. The verb is to perform and the noun is performance. And what would you call, Reza, a successful film which earns a lot of money?
A box office success.
A box office. Box office is taquilla?
Taquilla.
So a box office success. Or maybe a blockbuster.
That's a very, very successful one.
Yeah. Have you heard of the latest blockbuster, Jurassic World?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it?
Me neither, no. But it grossed, it made $500 million worldwide in its opening weekend.
Wow.
The first weekend, it made over $500 million. So that obviously is a blockbuster, a really, really successful film.
You said it grossed as well. It grossed $500 million.
To gross is ingresar.
Yeah.
Bruto.
Yeah, before you take off tax and all the other costs, etc. Yeah.
After tax and after the costs, the money that goes in your pocket is net.
Yeah.
Which is netto.
Because you've got to take into account a film like Jurassic Park. The actors were probably paid a fortune. Jurassic World, beg your pardon. The actors were probably paid a fortune. So they don't actually start to make money until they make enough money to pay the actors and everything. And then...
But I think they did that the first weekend, the opening weekend. So they cleared their expenses. They paid their expenses the first weekend. And anything after that is profit. Clear profit. Amazing. So when a film goes out to the public, that you'd say in Spanish, estreno.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'd say premiere or the opening release.
Yeah.
The premiere of Jurassic World, the opening release or the first release, perhaps.
So you release a film, that means you make it available to the public.
Mm-hmm. Reza and I want to tell you now about something we like, don't we, Reza?
We do. It's italki.com.
Italki.com. Italki is a place on the internet where you can find a personal one-to-one teacher at low cost. In fact, it's probably about 30% cheaper than an offline teacher. So, Reza, you give one-to-one lessons, I think. And I think in Valencia, I think the going rate is probably about 30, 35 euros lesson. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 30 euros, 25 to 30, 35 per hour.
On Italki, you can find a qualified, experienced teacher for about 100 Italki credits, which is about 9 or 10 euros. You can find more expensive teachers, but you'd get a good teacher for that price. And of course, it's cheaper than a language school. It's more convenient. You can study when you want, when you have free time, and you're having lessons with a professional native speaker of English. Go to inglespodcast.com/italki, I-T-A-L-K-I. That will take you to italki's sign-up page. And italki are offering a special deal to listeners of Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. They're giving you 100 free italki credits, ITCs, when you sign up for their paid service. So one free lesson. Rezo and I want to thank italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. Have you got any more vocabulary connected to the cinema?
Yes. What about dubbing? To dub.
Dub. Dubbed.
What does that mean?
That means to put a different voice over the original version voice. So if you have a film with Robert De Niro, he's speaking Spanish. Imagine that. Al Pacino speaking Spanish. So Al Pacino is dubbed by a Spanish actor, which for me is never really the same. Jack Nicholson has a very distinctive voice. How can you dub Jack Nicholson or Clint Eastwood? For me, you know, guys, girls listening to this, please listen to your films in original version. It's better for your English. You'll appreciate the actors.
Mm-hmm. If you have problems understanding the English, well, listen to it in English and read what the people are saying also in English, not in Spanish.
All those little words at the bottom of the screen, mm-hmm. The little words in, yeah, what's that called?
The subtitles. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in learning English, you should listen in English and you should read the subtitles in English, not in Spanish.
Absolutely. And as Reza suggested in a previous episode, if your level is a little lower and maybe it's a complicated film, the story or the plot of the film. Guion?
No, the plot is like argumento. El argumento. The basic story.
If the plot is complicated, you can't follow it, you can't understand it. As Reza said before, watch it in Spanish first. And then watch it again in English. You know the story. You can follow the story. You can sit back. You can learn English. Enjoy the real voice of the actors and actresses.
We said this in a previous episode, didn't we?
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah.
You can watch in Spanish, then English. Or English first, then Spanish, then back to English. Mm-hmm. Craig, I've got a few more words related to actors. What would you call, perhaps it's a little bit old-fashioned, but still used today, the main man and the main woman who are the actors in a film?
The stars, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Estrellas, the stars, or the leading role?
Yes, yeah. Stars is a common word. Perhaps a little bit more old-fashioned is leading man and leading lady.
I wouldn't say that.
Too old-fashioned?
Too old-fashioned, yeah.
Okay. What about the other actors who are not the leading actors, not the stars?
The supporting actors?
Yes.
Supporting cast?
Yeah.
But if you said to me, Craig saw a really good film, Jurassic World, my question would be not who's starring in the film or who plays the leading role. It would probably be who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in it?
Yeah.
Who's in the film? Because that means that he would automatically tell me the people I know, the important people. Oh, it's who I don't know who's in Jurassic World, but the important people in the film.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of his name.
Oh. Important people of the cast. Yeah.
The cast.
What about the good guys and the bad guys? Is there another way to say good guy and bad guy?
The goodies and the baddies?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah. Yeah. What about if someone appears briefly in a film, but they have a very significant role in that film? They might appear for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then that's it. But it's very significant.
That's a cameo.
Cameo, all right.
A cameo appearance?
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you call a character which has survived to this day, but for me the original are the best, the original that go back to old black and white films starting in the 30s, black and white. They generally are smoking cigarettes. I'm not advising you to smoke cigarettes, by the way. I'm just describing. They're generally smoking cigarettes. They're very elegant, beautiful women. But you just know there's something dangerous about them. But that danger is kind of exciting. What do you call these characters?
The film noir comes to mind.
And the characters? The women who are seductive but kind of dangerous. You know you shouldn't really have anything to do with them, but you'd kind of like to.
Femme fatale?
Yes. Yeah, what would an old black and white film noir be without a femme fatale?
I had a girlfriend who was a femme fatale a few years ago. Strangely, it's a French expression, and she is French, but, you know, we'll move on.
Femme fatale who appear in film noir. We still use that French expression, yeah. Don't you think the old black and white ones are better than the colour ones?
It depends. One of my favourite films is Casablanca, which, of course, is black and white. Yep. Humphrey Bogart. Not Lauren Bacall.
Ingrid Bergman.
Ingrid Bergman. Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman. One of my favourite films of all time. I've seen it many, many, many times.
Yeah.
It's a classic film. Films I can watch again.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, if it's not a special, particular classic film, then I get bored.
Yeah. I'm not saying black and white films are better than colour in general. I was saying that for femme fatales, they're better than black and white because the black represents bad, white represents good. These are black and white, you know. They play with shadow. Is she good? Is she bad? You don't quite know. She's kind of good and bad at the same time. You're not quite sure. It's black and white is perfect.
You don't know until the end. I agree with you. Yeah. Absolutely.
And there she'll be in those long gloves with a cigarette in a cigarette holder, puffing
and away. And the hat with the net. Usually it's black net comes over the face.
Yeah, a great character, a great invention of black and white film noir.
Yeah, they're very good.
Play as time goes by.
Oh, I can't remember it myself. I'm a little rusty on it.
I'll hum it for you. Sing it, Sam.
You must.
A few other words, Craig. The action takes place. For example, you said in a James Bond film, was it Die Another Day? Some of the action takes place in Cardiff, did you say?
I think it's Die Another Day. One of them with Pierce Brosnan, the action takes place on location in Cardiff.
But is the person watching the film supposed to know it's Cardiff, or it just happens to be Cardiff? Because when you say the action takes place somewhere, you know, as someone watching the film, that's where it's supposed to be happening. But sometimes they shoot on location, but they don't tell you where it is, and you might not know. They might choose a location simply because it's very nice. For example, an extremely famous film, Braveheart, was shot on location mostly in Ireland, but it's not supposed to be Ireland. It's supposed to be Scotland. Why did they shoot it in Ireland? Any idea?
The tax breaks. It was cheaper.
It was cheaper. So it was shot in location, but the action takes place in Scotland 400 to 500 years ago.
And the Sergio Leone films with Clint Eastwood, A Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More, they were shot on location where?
In Almeria.
Exactly. But the idea was it was in the Wild West of the United States. Yeah.
It's funny how they call them spaghetti westerns. Perhaps more correctly, they should call them spaghetti y morcilla, or spaghetti y patatas bravas, to indicate that they're as much Spanish as they are Italian.
Spaghetti gazpacho.
Yeah.
What was the, when was the last time you went to the cinema? Do you remember?
Yes, 2 nights ago.
Really? What did you see?
A very good film called Child 44.
What was the plot?
The plot was basically, it's set. To be set means that is the time and the place and the period where it happens. It's set in Stalinist Soviet Union.
You could also say takes place, couldn't you?
The action takes place, yeah.
It's set in.
In Stalinist Russia, the Soviet Union, and it's about Secret Service policeman who seems like a baddie, but he turns out to be a goodie. And he discovers that there's a child killer on the loose, but the authorities don't want him to kick up a fuss because there's not supposed to be child killers in communist Russia, because it's supposed to be a great place. So it's all about that. It's a very interesting, intricate plot.
Does it have a famous cast?
Yes. Gary Oldman.
He's very good.
Tom Harding or Hardy. Yeah. The leading actress in The Girl Who Played with Fire, which he called Noomi Rapace.
I don't know her.
Or something like that.
Would you recommend it?
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good. Also, they really capture the atmosphere of how bleak, how grim, how dull it must have been working in Stalinist Russia, and the claustrophobic atmosphere. It's captured very well. Great cinematography, which is what?
Cinematography, the way the camera films the landscape, particularly the long shots. Very good camera work. Lighting, etc. Have you got any famous actors or actresses?
Any that I really like?
Yeah. Any that you'd go to see the film, whatever, you know, that this actor or this actress is in the film? Oh, yeah, I'm going to see that, definitely. And you don't care about the story or the director?
Not really of any living actors or actresses. But if he were alive today, I really like...
can't help you. what films has he been in?
Mitchum, but what's his first name?
Robert.
Robert, yeah. If he were alive today, I'd go and see any film with Robert Mitchum. I love Robert Mitchum. He does a really good, broody, kind of mean, mysterious character. Like, you know that film... what is it? The one where he's got the tattoos on his finger. It says love on one hand and hate on the other, you know, and he's a weird guy.
Cape of Fear.
Cape Fear, yeah. Cape Fear. He's brilliant in that. He's so sinister.
I didn't see that. I saw the remake with Robert De Niro.
Which is good as well, but the original's even better, believe me. Okay. It's a great film.
Yeah. I have to see it.
I love Robert Mitchum, yeah. Also, I think Humphrey Bogart was a great actor. Yeah, so...
You like the oldies, don't you? You like the old films.
Well, Robert Mitchum's not so old.
Yeah. Well, he made some black and white films.
Yeah. He straddles. He goes between kind of black and white and colour. Yeah. And for actresses, what actresses really catch your attention?
For me... I really like just watching Keira Knightley. I think she's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'd agree.
She's so sexy.
Yeah.
But Meryl Streep is a...
Yes.
Because Meryl Streep disappears in the role.
Yes.
You forget it's Meryl Streep. She just completely dissolves and becomes this character on screen. I think she's fantastic. Big fan of Al Pacino.
Yep.
Anthony Hopkins. Do you know Bill Nye?
Yes, he's
English actor.
Yeah.
I can watch him in anything. I could watch him reading the telephone directory because I love his cadence, which is how he delivers his lines, how he speaks, and how he moves on screen. So I'm a big fan of Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Any favorite directors? That you follow?
I'm going to sound so old fashioned, but you're going to go oldies. Back to, I love Hitchcock. Yeah. Alfred Hitchcock, a little bit later than that, but he's also dead, is the Polish director Krzysztof Kieślowski. Don't know if you've heard of him.
Did he do Three Colors?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Bleu, tres color, bleu.
Very kind of
blanc.
Deep, dreamy kind of films. I like that.
I have to be in a mood to see his films.
Gotta be in the mood.
You gotta be in the mood. Yeah. Yeah. Because they can be a bit moody, a bit, you have to think.
Yeah. There was an actress that he used in quite a few of his films that I really liked. Not very famous, called Irène Jacob, French actress.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
She was in The Three Colors Red and a few other films he did.
And Juliette Binoche was in one of them too. She's very good.
Actress, yeah. I like a bit of glamour. Who doesn't?
Have you ever hated a film so much that you walked out in the middle?
I don't think so. No.
You've never paid your money and stood up in the middle and said, "Oh, no, this is terrible."
No, I haven't. Have you?
I have, actually, and I can't remember the name of it, which is how much I hated it, probably.
Must have been.
Something about the suitcases of something Loper or some. Anyway, I just didn't understand it. It was very arty and very avant-garde. And after about half an hour, I thought, I don't have the patience. Maybe it was the mood I was in. Maybe I wasn't open to what the director wanted to communicate. But it just, no, I'm going home.
And Craig, what's your favorite, or what are your favorite genres, your favorite type of film? Genre is a French word, of course, we've brought into English.
Which means type or kind of film. I like, as I mentioned before, sci-fi. I like science fiction. Huge fan of comedy, good comedy films.
Me too.
And action adventure, if I don't want to think. Just sit back and watch people hitting each other and blowing each other up. I like that sometimes.
Have you any favourite action adventure actors or actresses?
Well, directors. I really like Ridley Scott.
Oh, me too.
And Christopher Nolan, who's directed the latest Batman films.
So Ridley Scott did Blade Runner. He did Gladiator, right?
Yep.
A few others.
Alien.
Yep.
And Tarantino. A huge fan of Pulp Fiction. I think that's a fantastic film, Pulp Fiction. Stanley Kubrick, I like very much. And Francis Ford Coppola, of course, The Godfather, yes. One of my favourite films. Have you ever seen The Big Lebowski?
Yes, that's a great film.
The Coen brothers.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Joel and Ethan Coen,
yeah.
Great directors, yeah.
I love those two. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that film in particular, The Big Lebowski. In fact, that's probably the film I've most recommended to others. Mm-hmm. Is there a film that you've recommended more than any other?
No. For me, it depends on the person. I would recommend different films to different people.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or points or vocab that you want to mention before we go out the door?
Can't think of anything else.
Okay.
Just that one question for you. Do you know when the first Mickey Mouse film was released?
Now, let me think. I've got to get this right. The first speaking film, the first film was sound.
The first talkie.
Yes, was The Jazz Singer with Al Jolson. I think Steamboat Willie... Mickey Mouse.
That's right.
Was the first, what, cartoon?
I think it was, yeah. The year? I don't know.
1930s. But I think, was it the first cartoon or was it the first full-length film?
I don't know.
I have to check it.
Why not make it a competition and see if any listener knows the answer?
Oh, by the way, has anyone entered your competition with a phrasal verb?
Nope.
Nobody?
No one has that much time on their hands to count phrasal verbs.
It was quite a tall order.
It was a tall order.
It was a difficult request.
It was a big ask.
Yeah.
But this is easy. Anybody who's got access to Google, off you go and find out.
So what's the competition?
When was the first Mickey Mouse film made?
Okay. I've just told you the name of it, so that's not too difficult.
But we don't know the year.
Send your answers and your any comments or questions you may have to me at craig@inglespodcast.com or to Reza, who will be happy to receive your competition entries at belfastreza@gmail.com. And remember, please, to write a review for us and show us some iTunes love over at iTunes. Give us a few stars so that more people can see our show on iTunes and we can reach more people. On next week's episode of Aprender Inglés con Rezi, Craig will be speaking about the uses of get, G-E-T, one of the more common words in English. So, until then, it's goodbye from me.
Cut.
And it's goodbye from my co-producer over here. Until next episode, thank you for listening. The music in this podcast is by Pips. The track is called See You Later.